You're listening to the Power Word Gold Podcast, bringing you the latest tips, tricks, and strategies for making gold in World of Warcraft. I'm your host, Flux, and now, on with the show! Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Power Gold Podcast, episode number 22. It is Monday, the 14th of November, 2011. I'm your host, Flux, along with our co-host, Fade.
Hi, I'm here again.
And our guest, Aluniar.
Yo.
And we're going to go ahead and get right into it here for the Power Gold Podcast. Special guest today. Aluniar, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Aluniar is somehow connected to Fade in some way. I'm not quite sure.
He lives with me. He lives underneath the cabinets, and I give him crackers.
Is he there to bang on the pipes when the water comes down and tell the people to be quiet?
Yeah, pretty much.
They are tasty crackers.
Do you slice meat also and shove it under there like Seinfeld?
Maybe.
All right, so we got Fade and Aluniar. And Aluniar, you aren't necessarily a gold blogger or a gold podcast. Well, you're a gold podcaster now. But we're grateful to have you on the show today and to be bringing your perspective about gold making into it. As not as me and Fade often say, not everybody is kind of like sitting on a huge pile of gold like in a got a swimming pool like Scrooge McDuck. So we like to, you know, try to include the 99% into the podcast. So Fade, you're the 1% and all the rest of us are the 99%.
See, now he's going to be protesting all around the apartment with signs. It's going to be terrible.
Occupy Azeroth. Occupy
Fade's
the apartment. Occupy the cabinet. All right. So what we're going to be doing today, Let's see. Let me hold on a second. Before we get into it, ladies first, Fade, do you want to kind of let people know how they can find out more about you?
Yeah, sure. I've written an autobiography, but not actually. I am Fade. I write the blog nerffades.blogspot.com. And then I am also on YouTube at Fadetastic. And I am on Twitter at Fadetastic as well. All of this information, I believe, is in the Power Word Gold gold blog directory, so that you know how to spell everything and all that other good stuff.
Awesome, awesome. And Aluniar, although you're not necessarily a gold blogger, and you might not have any way you want people to get a hold of you, do you want to talk a little bit about maybe yourself, what characters you play, what you mainly play in World of Warcraft when you're not being bugged by Flux and Fade to be on the podcast?
Also, don't forget to plug, you have a blog. So,
well, I'm letting you guys go first.
No, I'm talking to Aluniar. He has a blog. He just won't admit it.
It's true. So I am Aluniar of US Sergeant Dawn server. Play 85 Hunter. I've been playing for a long time here. I do have a blog that I haven't updated in a long, long time. So we'll put that aside for now, but if I do start updating it more, then, you know, maybe that's something I could start getting that out there.
It has something to do with explosions and something I don't remember. It's been a little while.
It has been a while.
All right, and so you're a hunter, and you guys play on the Alliance side, which is
correct.
Wonderful.
He plays a female Night Elf hunter, and I'm ashamed to say it.
And you play a human female paladin? Male paladin?
Female paladin. Yeah.
That looks like a man sometimes.
Yes, sometimes with the hat, the little gnome hat that turns me into a male.
Well, didn't you use the Orb of Sindori in some of your screenshots?
Yeah, you have to use the gnome hat first to turn you male, and then the orb to turn you into a blood elf, and then take off the gnome hat.
What gnome hat are you talking about?
The I forget what it's called, but it's off of a rare spawn in Vashir.
It's the Berkey Black Helm.
Oh, Berkey Black Helm. Oh, the pirate one. Okay.
Yep.
You gender bending crazies. All right, and I am Flux. I write the blog Power Word Gold. You can find. See, now you guys got me all messed up. Let me try that again.
Sabotaging the podcast.
No. I'm using the singular, and that's like, I'm not used to doing that. That's why I got thrown off. You can find Power Word Gold at powerwordgold.net. Find us on Twitter at Power Word Gold and facebook.com/powerwordgold. And we are also proud to say we have Reddit community, r.com, reddit.com/r/wowgoldmaking. We actually, I don't know if you'd submitted anything, Fade, recently to, or Lunar. I don't know. Lunar, do you go on Reddit?
Not really too often. Every once in a while, Fade will have a bunch of stuff up. She's like, look at the pretty pictures of the kittens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm the same way. I'll be like reading, I'll be laughing, and my wife will be like, what? And I'm like, this. And she's like, uh-huh. Yeah, don't get sucked in. It's a terrible addiction. But no, Reddit. So on the WoW subreddit, when you go to submit, I don't know, Fade, if you'd submit anything recently to there, did you see that they had on the sub bar when you're going to submit, they have our subreddit listed on there.
Oh, that's nice.
They say, you know, submit here if you want to go to this. If you want this and WoW, go to this one. If you want this and WoW, go to this one. And they had gold making. So we're up to over 500. I don't know what you call it, readers, subscribers.
Subscribers.
Front pagers. I can actually change it. I'm the moderator. I can change it to anything. Actually,
we could be fuzzy pandas, just like on the WoW subreddit.
There you go. Fade, I need to talk to you about getting you possibly added as a moderator on there. You could see what it would be like.
The power.
reddit.com/r/wowgoldmaking and Google+. We have that, and I found out kind of as an update that they are starting to allow business/organization pages on Google+, but Google+ is, it's like a third wheel on my on my social networking agenda. Twitter,
I think that's how everyone feels about it. Yeah, lately.
Twitter is number one, Facebook is number two, and then Google+, but we have it.
Yeah, I got rid of my Facebook, so fans of the Nerf Fades Facebook, I'm sorry, but the blog's still there, so. Mm-hmm. I wasn't using the Facebook often enough, and there's been all sorts of rumors about it selling information and stuff, and I just decided, screw it,
Facebook
I'm not wasting
selling
time.
Information?
Yeah. Yeah, just a lot of privacy concerns, so I'm like, screw it, I'm getting rid of it, because I only use it to talk to my mom anyways, let's face it, so.
All right, so that's how you can get hold of us. Also, you can send email if you have a question for the podcast, if you want to pick Fade's brain, powerwordgold@gmail.com, and that's how you want to do that. Send us an MP3 question if you want to get your question featured on the podcast as far as having your beautiful voice. If you have a gold tip, like a really quick gold tip that you have that you want all the readers of the Power Gold podcast or listeners of the Power Gold podcast to hear, go ahead and send that in as an MP3 as well. And we'll try to get that on the show. All right. So, Alunyar, we're going to start out with you today. We're basically going to try to absorb as much knowledge from your mind grapes as much as we can.
I don't know how I feel about that.
All right. So, when I was editing the last podcast and I stepped away from the microphone for a little bit, and I came back, when I was editing it, see, I get to hear all this cool stuff that people talk about behind your back when you're not. Not behind your back, but when you're not there.
That Flux guy's so lame. Gaw.
Gosh. Why don't you just borrow some from school nurse? All right.
I'm so confused.
All right. So you have a good amount of gold. I would say probably over the average amount of gold, although I think Zixinthus. I don't know how you pronounce his name.
I would say Exynthus. Exynthus. I don't know if that's right, but
yeah, had recently put out his state of the kind of, he did a survey with people talking
doing
about.
Doing a survey on a gold making forum, though, kind of skews the results.
That's true. But I would say that the amount of gold that you have, are you willing to publicly talk about how much gold you have, Aluniar?
Yeah, absolutely. I have no problem with that.
Do it. How much gold do you have? How much gold you got, Ma?
Just recently, I actually reached my most amount of gold ever owned, which was around 80 to 85,000 gold. So not, you know, piles and piles and piles of gold, but probably a little bit more than what the average person has, I'd imagine. I then spent 16,000 gold buying some of the Guardian Cubs, so now I'm back down a little bit. But, you know, I would have no problem getting that 16K back when I wanted to.
Someone needs to figure out how many gold coins come out of a gold bar, and then they need to figure out how many gold bars are on the pallet in Stormwind in the bank, and then they need to calculate how many pallets of gold bars Fade has, or you have, or I have. Just gold coins.
And then there's the Orgrimmar banks, which have the piles of gold underneath the floor. I love the Orgrimmar banks.
Is there some under the floor?
There's a grate, and there's even like goblins underneath it counting the gold.
Oh my gosh. I just recently became a resident of Orgrimmar. I'm going to talk about that later, but I'm leveling up a tauren, and so I've been spending a lot of time there. So out of that, so you have 80,000. That's enough to buy a spectral cub. A spectral tiger.
It is.
Which we'll be getting to a little later. But what are some of your kind of go-to ways, Aluniar, not necessarily being a gold maker, not necessarily being somebody that thinks about it as much as other people, what's some of the major ways that you've made gold as you've went along?
Well, I kind of think of it in two different ways. There's stuff that I'm doing all the time, and then there's stuff that I kind of do in phases, depending how, you know, far along the expansion or the patch we are. They're kind of two different, completely separate levels of gold. The stuff that I do all the time is usually very small, very, you know, get some money now kind of stuff. Things like I'll buy something off the auction house, and then I'll immediately turn around and flip it, or I'll do something with it, I'll craft something with it, and I'll make, you know, 10, 15 gold profit, you know, whoop-de-doo. A bunch of little small things like that that will add up. And I can do those, you know, basically during, you know, whenever I want. The other kind of category of stuff that I do is really patch or expansion dependent. For example, at the beginning of the expansion, I know that since I'm, if not server first leatherworking, which I was for Cataclysm, then I'm going to be one of the server first top leatherworkers, which I almost got server first in Wrath of the Lich King. So I was doing the same thing in basically both expansions, which was providing armor kits. I was, you know, one of, if not the first people on the server with the armor kit patterns. So as soon as those, you know, server first guilds started to get in a bunch of 85s, they're like, hey, we want to go raid, you know, Bastion of Twilight or Naxxramas or whatever your entry level raid of that expansion is. I get, you know, 20, 30 armor kits together, and I can sell them all to this guild that has not had the opportunity to get any armor kits yet. And I know that at the start of Cataclysm, I was selling them for, you know, 2,000, 2,500 gold each. Which, you know, now they're 800-900 gold each, so definitely get a whole lot more money out of them.
So the general day to day, and then the special situation ones. Now we don't have a lot. We haven't had a lot of guests that have worked a lot in leatherworking. Even I've dabbled in it here and there. I think in a few podcasts I've talked about scorched armor kits and the purple one, not the purple color, but there's one that uses water and one that uses fire.
The Twilight.
Yeah, the Twilight. Can you kind of go into some of the ways that you've made gold with leatherworking? Because I don't think it's a profession that tends to get a lot of people writing about it, a lot of people talking about it. Do you want to kind of go over what are some of the things that you found? I mean, I know it changes as the expansion goes on, but Can you give us some ideas about people that have leatherworking as one of their professions that they want to use to make gold out of it? What are some of the ways that they might be able to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. To start with, having a jewel crafter and having a scribe as well on alts, and having a new alchemist now too, I can say with confidence that it is easier to use some of those other professions, especially if you're playing very casually to make gold. It is just more difficult to use leatherworking to make gold, but it is very possible. Like I said, I definitely took advantage of being, one of the first on the server, and that was cool and all, but not everyone's first on the server. There's a lot of room to work with that. Now, if you do a lot of randoms, those chaos orbs are very valuable if you have some of the high-end patterns. I know that I'm one of the only people on Argent Dawn that have, like, all the leatherworking patterns, except a handful from Sunwell, but we won't talk about those.
It's because they don't exist.
I know, right?
Talk about them.
Yeah. but if you're a leatherworker and you get chaos orbs, there's, at least on Argent Dawn, there's big demand for leatherworkers who can make those high-end patterns and have chaos orbs. I could probably go through a stack of chaos orbs, 100 chaos orbs in about a week if I had them, just because there's, that many people who need endgame epics made.
Now, where are the patterns that you're speaking of? Where are those kind of obtained?
The ones that I'm speaking specifically about right now drop in the Firelands. They're the 378 BOE epic boots and gloves that are crafted through leatherworking. And I know I see all the time people who are looking for, ethereal treads, and they're paying, 500 gold per orb looking for a leatherworker with orbs, because there's just the leatherworkers with both the orbs and the patterns just aren't very plentiful at all, at least on Argent Dawn.
So that would be a listener that was a raider that got those patterns. It would be good for them to make sure they maintain their supply of chaos orbs.
Absolutely. If they, if they're chain running randoms, or if they have the opportunity to chain randoms, I would say, get a bunch of chaos orbs, because there are people looking for them. And I know that I get approached by people that, I'm known on the server for, having been a leather worker for a long time and being one of the best. And I get approached by people all the time that are like, hey, can you make this? And I'm like, yes, but I don't have the orbs, which, I hate to disappoint, but I don't have the orbs because I can't run 15 randoms a day to keep up with everyone.
Two things I was going to ask you. I don't know if you'd heard, but there's, I think on the PTR, and there's been news about chaos orbs becoming no longer soulbound.
Yes, mm-hmm. And that makes me very happy. I'm looking forward to that a lot, because that means I will be able to go back to crafting for people.
Do you think that will kind of affect how much people like you are able to make, meaning somebody that has the time to run and get chaos orbs is going to make X amount with the chaos orb now, but then after? What are your thoughts on that as far as how that's going to get affected?
Well, I think it depends on a couple different factors. First one being how easy it is for that person. Well, let's talk about two different people here. The first one is the person who runs randoms to get chaos orbs and then sells their chaos orbs. And the second one is the person like me who has no chaos orbs, and the few chaos orbs they get are immediately eaten up by the community. That first person who runs randoms gets a bunch of chaos orbs. First of all, that person needs to be on a group or a bracket where they don't have a lot of competition. I know that when I'm on Alluniar and I'm running, I am almost always competing for chaos orbs. I don't know what it is, but I am almost always having to
out-roll. I need those orbs, okay? They sit in my bank and look pretty.
So for the listeners that might not know, right now as it stands, you can only roll on the chaos orbs that drop in heroics if you are a certain, if you have the profession that can use them and you are of a Correct. Certain level that can use them, meaning that you might have two people or three people or just yourself that have a chance to roll on those orbs. And when you're doing randoms, a lot of people that are going to be anybody that can roll on it generally rolls neat on it anyway.
And unfortunately, right. That leads to engineers with 400 orbs sitting in their bank doing nothing, which exactly. Now that they're becoming unbound is okay. But before that, I'm like, you people are terrible people and you should feel bad.
But after the patch, or after this change happens, all five people in a group will all be able to roll, which means that everybody, you'll be fighting against at least a couple more people per run to get the orbs.
Correct. However, if you fail to roll on it, you can then buy it off the auction house,
which
will
true.
Be nice.
Yeah.
Right.
So for the second person that, like you, sorry, I kind of interrupted your flow, is what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Just like I was saying, that first person will have to outroll a bunch of people, and we'll get that Chaos Orb, and we'll sell the Chaos Orb for money. Great. That second person either doesn't have time to run the randoms, or can't run the randoms, or, you know, they run randoms, and then they have to outroll a bunch of people and don't get the orb. So basically, you're looking at people with orbs now and people without orbs now. After the patch, I think that people without a lot of orbs may end up making more money because they're going to be approached by more people than they were before, which means they're more apt to get tips.
Okay. So that people would be bringing them all their materials, but they would be maybe giving them, you would be maybe able to charge a set amount or ask them for a certain amount to make it, like, whereas before you might charge $500 an orb, 500 gold an orb, you might actually say, for 250, I'll make the item for you.
Right.
And you can make those all day.
I know that I actually don't charge. If people bring me all the mats, I'll make it for free.
Okay.
And I get a lot of tips that way. Very rarely get anyone who doesn't pay me anything, you know. And sometimes the tips are 5 gold, sometimes the tips are 500 gold. I think the biggest tip I ever received was 2,500 gold and like a stack of some consumable, like flasks or something. And I was like, hey, that's cool, thanks.
Do you sell any of those items on the auction house, or what do you think is going to happen with that market on the auction house after when there's more availability?
I honestly don't tend to sell large, high price items on the auction house, especially anything like BOE epics. I tend to sell those through trade. So I really don't have a lot of experience with using the auction house for high end items, for 70,000 gold spectral tikers. I will sell, you know, those types of items directly through trade to avoid the cut and to avoid people undercutting me on the auction house. I've noticed that you're less likely to get undercut when you try to sell something through trade, simply because not everyone on the server can look it up and then, you know, post theirs and undercut you.
Do you, since you do check the auction house though, have you paid attention to what those items have been selling for? Are kind of, have you been seeing them on the auction house? Do people put them up or?
Kind of. It really varies. And, you know, that's also going to vary by your server. But for example, I saw a pair of tailoring boots, the 378 tailoring boots that were 35,000 gold. As for a pair of leatherworking gloves, I saw for, you know, 28, I think, or something like that. So, I mean, it's I'm willing to bet on the high end, at least on Argent Dawn, you know, again, server to server differences.
Mm-hmm.
On the high end, I'm seeing some of those 378 crafteds go 40K. On the low end, I'm seeing 21, 22. But it really depends what, you know, whether it's blacksmithing, leatherworking, tailoring, and which piece you also need.
Do you have an idea about what the material costs are for those 20,000 to 40,000 gold items are?
Well, for living embers right now, each living ember is probably, I don't know, 3K or so on Argent Dawn. I haven't checked
1,800.
Those.
1,800. They were down to 1,800 today.
Wow, they've really dropped. Okay. But you need 4 of those. So, you know, that's like just under 8K, maybe 7,500 there. And then you need 8 pristine hides. Those are about 300 gold each.
What's one of the names of those items, like the gloves that you were talking about? Do you know the name offhand?
I don't know the names of all
gloves of the Heavenly Moon or something like that.
I'm just gonna look it up on the Undermine Journal while we're talking and get an idea.
Sabatons. Those are a pair of agility mail boots. Let me just do a little bit of mathins here.
Now for the tailoring ones, do the tailoring ones require Chaos Orbs or do they require Dream Cloth? Because that may be why they're cheaper, is because technically you could make that without ever touching Chaos Orbs.
They just require Dream Cloth. They don't require Chaos Orbs. It's Dream Cloth and the Living Embers.
Okay, so it looks like on Argent Dawn, the cost to make for components, not including Chaos Orbs, is 9,600. and
yes.
people are selling for, well, there's none on the auction house right now that I can see, but
sell them for $1 million gold.
Well, it looks like U.S. mean, let's see, hold on, U.S. alliance is around 22,000 average for selling, so that's about a 10,000. But I think what you were alluding to, Lunar, was that you don't like to wrap up, you don't like to wrap mats up, and obviously even 9,000 is can be a lot for somebody if they don't know if they're going to be able to sell it or not. You tend to just craft it for people that are able to bring you the materials.
Correct. And I think there's also a different buyer mindset of, I'm going to, you know, I've got a bunch of volatile fire and water on the alts. I've got, you know, some pristine hides. All I need is the embers and some more chaos orbs and I can make it. As opposed to, I'm going to dump 30,000 gold into this
effort. Yeah, it
that's me.
It makes sense that the higher price the item, the longer and the harder people tend to, with a few exceptions, tend to, you know, they'll wait like a week or two or watch the auction house if they're going to spend 9,000. Because for a lot of people, 9,000 might, or 22,000 might be what they, all the gold that they have. So, but then it might be people that have a lot of gold in their alts. Like I know when I'm getting an alt prepared to try to do like heroics or something, I'll just start dropping like 1k here or 2k there just to try, you know, just to get them some
yeah epics. when my warrior just hit 85 last week, I paid 18,000 gold for her weapon, so yeah.
Okay, this is something that I wanted to talk to you about. What's the Suckerfish Shuffle?
Oh god,
you've got to explain the Suckerfish Shuffle now.
Basically, all it was is I noticed, and I think this was actually at the tail end of Wrath of the Lich King. So if you were in Wrath of the Lich King, you know that every time you went fishing, you ended up with a stack of whatever fish you wanted and 8 stacks of pygmy suckerfish. Mm-hmm. So usually you ended up vendoring those or putting them on the auction house for silver each, you know. So I noticed that, hey, there's some suckerfish up for, you know, a couple silver. You can turn those into pygmy oil and sell them for twice as much. Yeehaw. So it's, you know, it's free gold, but it's most likely not time efficient, but it is
it's
free
a
gold.
Ridiculous amount of processing time.
Actually, you want to know a funny story about suckerfish is that my wife used to have me make her stacks of pygmy suckerfish for her Draenei because she liked to be a gnome shaman. So she would drink 10 of those and just so that she could turn into a pygmy, a voodoo pig. Have you ever drank 10 of them to get you to look like a pygmy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So she used to do that. And I would look over in the dungeon and I'd say like, oh, you're a gnome. So, yeah. Awesome. Let's see. So there was a few other things you had mentioned before the show about ways that you make money currently. Do you want to talk about how you're able to convert some of your Valor points and Justice points into gold for yourself?
Yeah, and that's another thing that I had kind of alluded to at the beginning of the show, was that depending on the point in the expansion or the point in the patch, different gold-making capabilities are opened up. For example, right at the beginning of the patch, depending on whether you're a raider or not, you're probably going to be spending your valor points on, you know, your tier chest piece, your tier pants and gloves if you aren't lucky in Tolbrad, you know, different raiding equipment. If you aren't a raider, this is your perfect opportunity to get that new, you know, 378 pair of boots or gloves or bracers, that's what they are, this dear god, bracers, and sell them to raiders for basically premium price, especially at the start of a patch. But as the patch goes on, everyone gets their valor gear that they need. They've got their 378 chest, etc. And now those valor points are worth less because everybody's selling bracers. So really, depending on what point it is in that patch, and you know what you're doing with your valor points, they could mean more or less gold. Now I'm a raider, so I bought my raiding pieces first. But as soon as I was done buying, you know, my essential pieces, basically whatever upgrades from the vendor, I immediately started turning my valor points into gold. I think my first pair of bracers sold for 7,000 gold. Now they're down to 3K, 3,500 on Alliance Argent Dawn.
It's because you're a dirty, pure DPS class who doesn't have to maintain an off-spec for raiding.
I know, right?
Jealous.
I'm not even a raider at all, and so I was actually... Me and my wife are more like dungeoneers kind of people, and so those bracers coming down in price was actually good for me because I have a lot of alts, and it's always nice to pull in, you know, what I can off of people and suck out all their valor and justice points, because I have more gold than, you know, I do, especially the valor points, because the only real way I was able to get valor points is just the weekly heroics mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
And it also helps that I have alts that I don't try to keep geared to my level of content. So for example, I can go Valor Cap on Alluniar, on Selena, on Avalé, on Sothissa, on Zax. I can go Valor Cap on 5 or 6 characters, Crescendo too. I can go Valor Cap on those characters and sell 6 pair of bracers for 3K each. That right there is 18,000 gold for Valor Capping for that week, because I don't need Valor on any of those characters.
Except you should never subject innocent people to your Death Knight. That's just, why would you do that to those people?
So, what was I going to say? Yes, so basically, if you're able to pay attention to what's going on and what cycle of the patch is, and there's going to be a new patch coming out, with 4.3, they're saying, we're thinking it might be something like early December. Alluniar, what would be your recommendations for players trying to look into, like, raiders, but then also for non-raiders, about what the best way they can kind of do what you've done in the past for their valor to work towards making gold off of it?
Absolutely. The first thing that I will say is pivotal to this, whether you're a raider, whether you're a non-raider, whether you're, you know, just sitting in Stormwind, try to get Valor Cap as best as you can. Valor Cap each week, especially in the first 2 months or so, because that's when you're going to get the most out of your Valor points. If you're a raider and you're a competitive raider, then you're going to be spending it on the gear first. So, I mean, that's not really an option. You got to get the gear first if you're a competitive raider. If you're not, if you're, you know, a very casual raider even, if you are just doing 5-mans, you know, if you're just pugging raids or whatever, then you can go ahead and you can start selling whatever BOE item immediately. You know, I know that the boots were $1,650, the bracers were $1,250. You know, maybe let's say it's a belt, a 397 belt in 4.3 or something like that. You know, that'll probably be $1,250, and you can get that your second week of Valor Capping.
So push off your own upgrades to help if you want to try to maximize your gold that you're going to gain. And then if you're not a raider, getting your other items later or buying them cheaper later probably actually makes sense.
If gold making is a priority to you over competitive raiding, then yeah, definitely spend that valor on the BOE items first and sell those BOE items, because that is when they're going to be worth the most.
It's kind of the same concept of farming in the first couple weeks of the patch instead of leveling your own professions, is because that's when you're going to get top dollar for the materials you farm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what about, have you looked at what might be coming up as far as leatherworking in 4.3 or with the new raid dungeon?
Yes. For leatherworking, there's going to be, just like every other expansion, there's going to be new patterns for the 4.3 that take various volatiles. There's going to be volatile earth, volatile water, fire, air. I mean, all the volatiles are going to be involved. I noticed that there seemed to be more of an emphasis on black and dragon scales for crafting. Mm. So if you're a leatherworker for 4.3, I would recommend stocking up on a couple stacks of black and dragon scales. There are going to be people who are going to be like, oh man, I want to get that new pair of pants crafted. That's what they are, is pants and bracers, I think. But they're going to be like, oh, I want to get that new pair of pants crafted, but I don't have 800 black and dragon scales. And that's your opportunity as a leather worker to say, well, I've got these black and dragon scales, and I'll sell them for, you know, twice of what would be normal price. Mm-hmm.
And on that topic there, I had put a few posts up about this. I have 2 skinners on the one on my Alliance side, and I kept one of them from doing the Fireland dailies. to keep Sathria's Roost open to farming Black and Dragon scales on the level 82 and 83, maybe it's 81, 82 mobs that are there when you haven't done the dailies. So if otherwise, most people go, I think there's a place in Deepholm, or most people go to Twilight Highlands to farm Black and Dragon scales. So if you have a skinner that hasn't done the dailies for Firelands yet, the ones that are in Mount Hyjal, that's at least what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be taking my skinner and going to that place with the Potion of Treasure Finding and skinning up some Black and Dragon scales. But even if you're not a skinner, and you notice Black and Dragon scale prices are somewhat down a little bit, you could pick up a few of those.
Worst case scenario, I'm pretty sure they're used in leg patches too, so there's going to be demand for them, even if it's not an increased demand.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Any other small tidbits or advice for 4.3 in general, Luniar?
You know, stock up. If you're expecting to get those patterns from however they're acquired, which will probably be, you know, raid drop or a rep vendor or something, start stocking up on materials. Use that ptr.wowhead.com. It's such a great resource to find out what new items were added in the latest builds, you know, what's going to come out right before release. You can see all the items, you can see professions and recipes, you can see what materials are needed. And, you know, like Fade just said, anything left over, you can turn into armor kits, because people are going to be crafting new pants, maybe getting new pants through Valor Points or dropped through Baradin Hold. So there's, you know, a lot of
Conquest points. Season 11 Paladin.
Conquest too, PvP.
On that note, there's probably going to be new crafted PvP sets. You know, not new patterns, but the old patterns are probably going to be upgraded, and there will probably be a surge of demand for those right off the bat for people who want to go get their Season 11 Paladin set, just like me. So
awesome. Well, I thank you so much for all of your awesome insight, Luniar, and maybe we'll have to have you back on the show at some point in the future to help spread your not so what do they say, not in the words are failing me. All right, so we're gonna go ahead and take a break here, and when we get back, we're gonna have Fade talking to us about some of the things that she's been up to recently. So we'll be back in just a second. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Powered Gold Podcast, episode number 22. I'm your host, Flux, along with our co-host, Fate.
Hi, I'm apparently a co-host now.
You are. And and our guest, Aluniar.
Hello, hello.
You are a co-host because you're the host with the most. did I talk about Joe Keen on the last podcast at all?
I don't think so. If you did, it must have been very brief.
Okay. So. Yeah. So I just call you my co-host because you are my co-host on the show for now. I had talked to Joe Keen, who was our previous co-host, about, I want to say, a couple weeks ago. And he's not really playing World of Warcraft at the moment. So I kind of let him know that I was going to be, you know, doing them as they went along, and he didn't have any problems with, you know, other people being in it or anything like that. So we might have Joe Keen back on again at some point in the future, if maybe a patch comes up, or if he gets a hold of me and says, hey, I'm making gold again. So as it stands now, like I said, we'll most likely kind of rotate people in as we because I want to get Gimp in here. He's been messaging me too. But you win because you have a lot of things to say about gold making, and you're very articulate. What a
it's
word.
The best word to screw up yes. on saying.
So, all right. So, anyways, let's go ahead and jump into this second segment here. I just wanted to start this segment off by kind of going back just really briefly and to talk about where gold making blogging was at when I started. I started in February of this year, and back then pretty much the most kind of trafficked site I would say would probably be Just My Two Copper. Just My Two Copper I tended to use mainly for the blog roll. I've talked about that in the past. But also Just My Two Copper was the impetus for creating Power Word Gold, because I felt like Marco, who ran Just My Two Copper, was pretty much a pompous hole. And so
powerful words going out over here.
Well, that was so full of himself that I couldn't believe that somebody that would write the way he wrote with such hubris would actually have such a popular site. And so I decided, well, if I don't think that he's doing a good job writing, then rather than complaining about it or anything, I should just try to start my own blog. And but now Marco, this isn't necessarily about Marco, but Marco has two sides. He's very gregarious and pretty open with people. And the way he deals with people a lot of times is very positive. I'm sure he's a pretty nice guy. But he just gets in fits where he gets like so hubristic that like you're not really sure you're reading what you're reading properly, because he's claiming so many crazy things. So that's Marco. That was Just My Two Copper. Now, if you've been around the blogosphere, the gold blogosphere recently, you heard that he recently sold Just My Two Copper for $50,000 to another individual. But
allegedly. Some gold bloggers think that he claimed to have sold it, but didn't, just to distance himself from
I'm
his
just gonna,
site.
He posted a link that showed some website where you could sell domains. Anyways.
Yeah, I don't have any opinion on that. I thought it should be an interesting conspiracy theory.
Yeah, I'll just take him at his word.
Like Coast to Coast AM, and we'll just talk about conspiracy theories.
So I'll take him at his word that he sold it. But what wasn't really made clear, at least I didn't, because I tend not to pay super attention to Just My Two Copper nowadays, is that he sold the domain name, he sold this site. But what I didn't realize at the time was that it seems to be that he also sold his name, Marco.
Yes, he sold it as a brand, is how he worded it.
So, Just My Two Copper, as it was run at the time I started reading it, which is after it had already been out for a while, and up until recently was, although it had been run by another person, he had hired or got somebody to run it for a while. So this brings us to today, that we can call Marco 1, and that's Marco, meaning the Marco that started Just Me Two Cop originally, and then Marco 2, who is an individual now that is using the name and claiming to be and have done everything that Marco 1 did. So I don't know if Marco 1 sold Marco 2 the rights to basically claim everything he did. I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
But that brings us to something that came out, or something I had kind of seen something going along, because Marco has sold 2K leveling for a long time on his site. His
20K leveling. Sorry. 2K leveling would be pretty bad, actually.
2K. I think I work at a game store, and so there's like the 2K sports and blah, blah, blah. Not to get too far off track, but basically, there was this new thing that had kind of started to show up called WoW Crusher. I didn't really know much about it, but it seemed like it was kind of connected to Marco or the sale of the site, or maybe the new people that own the site were doing something with it. And that's about all I know. Like I said, because I, you know, Just My Two Copper doesn't have a blog role. I didn't really feel like that their posts, while they posted, I didn't feel like they were, you know, that insightful. So, you know, I tended not to pay much attention to them. But this last week, there was a tweet by Fade, who was talking about a video that she had put together, and I went and looked at the video, and then had to immediately make a blog post about it. And that's why we have Fade, and I've already said so much. So I'm going to turn the time over to Fade for you to talk about what prompted you to put this video together, what's in the video, and what you discovered about WoW Crusher.
Okay. Basically, WoW Crusher is... I'm going to say how they advertise it. Is WoW Crusher is supposedly a system which will make you among the best PvPers, PvEer, and a great gold maker on your server. And so it's basically, it allows you to master the game, supposedly. And this has been, it came out in late October, and it's been barked quite a bit by Marco 2, the new Marco, on Just My Two Copper. And it's just, you know, very sales situation-y. And there was a video that it linked, you know, it's the advertisement page of, hey, come buy this guide and watch this video while I try and convince you why you should buy it. And I was just blown away by how ridiculous the advertisement video was, because it was advertising things that a guide couldn't possibly do. Like, it was saying, you should buy my mount, or you should buy my guides because I have all these rare mounts and weapons that a guide couldn't possibly get you, etc. So it kind of made me interested in exactly what this guide must contain if he thinks that he can get away with making these claims. Now, I still haven't paid for a guide, and I don't think I ever will, because I think that anything worth knowing about WoW you can find on the internet for free, or think up yourself. But I did get access to this from someone else who does have the membership with WoW Crusher, and I decided to look around for a little bit. So, and basically what I did to make the video was, the first third of the video or so is me explaining why it's so ridiculous that this advertisement claims that you can get all these things from a guide that a guide can't give you. Then the second third of the video is just me going through all of their guide, pretty much. Not the whole guide, but I just clicked on random links, and I read a little bit of what there was on the page. I copied it into Google, and almost anything that I Googled, I found elsewhere on the internet for free. Pretty much everything in the guide is a verbatim copy-paste from a free website somewhere else on the internet. Most of them were the PvP Bible, PvP Ownage, there was a French forum, a guild's website on which they'd posted strategies for raid bosses. There are no heroic raid guides in there for Firelands, so they don't even talk about the top raid content. Just stuff like this. It basically, if it was given out for free as a primer to WoW, here, let me introduce you to all these different areas of WoW, it might actually accomplish its goal. But considering what they advertise that it can do, it just falls incredibly short. And the third of the video is just going over this add-on that they package with it, which is effectively just a talent calculator, which you can find on Elitist Jerks or anything like that. So basically, I just went through this, and I wasn't really, like, trying to start, pardon my language, but, because I like to talk to people and stuff, but I'm not usually one to start, but I was just blown away by how blatant the ripoff of this guide was, and I saw all of these people saying that they had bought it. I honestly do think that those were planted there, the comments, to try and get other people to buy it. I honestly think that's what they are, but, you know, it kind of worried me to think that someone might buy this guide and get ripped off. So I wanted to, first off, I was like, well, hopefully someone's caught this scam, so I, like, started Googling all this, is WoW Crusher a scam, etc., and all it was is advertisements that he'd planted. If you type in, like, WoW Crusher scam, it would say, no, it's not a scam, buy it, and it's just another advertisement. So I just, like, I kind of wanted to just get the word out. And if anyone else has a guide, just so you know, I mean, I'm not trying to contract myself out as the awesome guide reviewer, but if you think that, you know, you'd like a noble I'm not going to pander to your audience review, I'll definitely take a look at your guide and tell people what I think, but I'm not promising good reviews if it's not good. But so that's basically what I wanted to do. Was I've always wanted to review a guide, period. It has, like, I didn't do this to take a jab at Marco 1 or Marco 2. I've always, every time someone comes out with a guide, I've always wanted to see what's in it, but I just couldn't bring myself to pay for it. This just happens to have been the first guide that I got access to for free. That's the only reason I did this one. And unfortunately, it's kind of tainted my view of the gold guides, for the four pay guides. But so that's pretty much why I made it and what it ended up being.
And I ended up posting it on Powerword Gold just for the same reason that you probably created it, like you said originally, was just to get the word out there, not just specifically for like this guide, but to hopefully, you know, get information, you know, have people that are out there looking for how to make gold understand that they want to just be careful with the promises that something's going to, you know, solve all your problems if you, you know, pay them X number of dollars. I don't even really know how much the guide is.
I think it's $17, but that's one of the things that, because a lot of people have, not a lot, a couple people have questioned. They're like, well, basically the support, so to speak, for WoW Crusher actually is shared by the support for the PvP Bible, which is also a pay system. And they're like, well, what if that guy wrote both of them? And I'm like, you know what? I don't think that's true, given, like, dates and everything, but even if it is, my point, like, the most simple approach that I took was, can I get this information on the internet for free without giving this guy any money? And the fact that the answer was yes was what I was trying to show. Mm-hmm. Is you don't, like, there's so much information out there and so many people who will talk to you about WoW. I mean, look at us right here. We're just sitting here talking about WoW, talking about gold strategies. There's so much stuff out there that you don't have to pay for that's quality information. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to show people that most of the stuff that you have to pay for was never worth a dime.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wanted to, like I said in my post, I appreciated you taking the time to put that together because I think that it's, you know, we've talked about this off and on as gold bloggers, but, you know, everybody would love to figure out a way to make money doing what they love, and blogging is one of those things that a lot of times is a labor of love, where people do it because it's relaxing, it's what they like to do, they like to share their information, but that's not to say that people wouldn't like to get paid to do what they love to, you know, what they love to do. And as from early on for Powered Gold, I've, you know, struggled with what are the different ways to monetize a site or a gold blog specifically. And to me, it was always, there's, you know, a few main ones: advertising and internet advertising, selling guides, and like possibly doing live kind of like coaching kind of stuff or something like that. But being the kind of person who really has an aversion to advertising, which is actually kind of a little ironic, but just feeling like somebody's only doing something so that they can get money. Like, I don't know.
It can definitely make you think a little bit differently about a site. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not trying to pick on him, but I remember the first time I went to Colt's Gold Factory. I think he's redone the site a little bit now, but when I first went there, there was just blocks of advertisements mm-hmm. at the bottom of the page, and I was just like, what's going on here? Not to pick on him. That was just the first mm-hmm. one that I was like, wow, that's a lot of ads.
Yeah, and that was also something that I think people have a really... like, everybody has a really good, like, BS detector where they can tell when somebody's being disingenuous and is only saying something, you know, to get something else. And I've tried as much as possible with Powerword Gold to, you know, be as genuine as possible. And I think, you know, you've chosen to not have any advertising at all on Nerf Fades.
Yeah, I regret it sometimes when money's a little bit tight. I've considered going back on that a little bit, But at the end of the day, it's never really worth the headache. Yeah. And I'm really just more about writing for fun, not writing for money.
Yeah,
no
yeah.
offense to the people who do. I mean, I can yeah. definitely 100% understand why people monetize.
Yeah. As it stands right now, even when I had the chance to monetize by acquiring the rights to Bangkok Bill's Guide, I still chose not to. I chose to release the guide for free rather than for pay. And I've always said that there's a chance I could repackage it and sell it as either a reformatting of it, or you know, some people wanted an could possibly want to be able to download it in an ebook or PDF or you know some other way rather than having to go through all the pages. But there's always ideas out there, but I feel like the most important thing is to be genuine with your audience, and I think this is where WoW Crusher kind of falls afoul of me. When I was really young, well, not really young, when I was a kid, my dad would always tell me, don't listen to anybody that tries to sell you Amway. And no offense to anybody that sells Amway. I've had friends who sold it in the past, but at least at that time, like, Amway was the only, besides Avon, Amway was like the only multi-level marketing kind of thing that was out there. And not to say that multi-level marketing is terrible, but I kind of got that ingrained in me. And so as time has went on, a lot of these other things, especially with the internet, a lot of these other things you start to look at and say, like, there's no real content there, or there is content, but like in the case of WoW Crusher, it's been plagiarized by, you know, from free sources. Your radar is really, at least mine is like really sensitive to people, not even trying to scam people, but just, you know, trying to make, I think I had a really long conversation with Gimp about the word, never mind. I'm just going to cut this part out. What was the word that he was using? He used the word.
Bollocks.
No.
He loves that word. That's his favorite word.
It was.
You've got to keep that in just so that he hears me say it.
Bollocks. Bollocks. Basically, it was a word that meant somebody who tries to get something without any effort.
Moocher?
No. Like, if they see, like, I don't know. There wasn't a really good English equivalent, or American English equivalent of it.
I'm pretty sure he is English.
But people that are just trying to make a quick buck, like, you know, maybe let's just say, for example, that it's somebody who gets a bunch of ClickBank ads, puts them up on a generic web page, takes an RSS feed and plagiarizes all the content from an RSS feed or multiple RSS feeds and tries to make money by selling like a gold guide or whatever off of this fake, you know, there's no real effort involved in it other than trying to throw some crap together and try to trick people into buying things from ClickBank and that kind of stuff. So luckily, Powered Gold's not that way, and Nerf Fades isn't that way.
Nor is Aluniar's blog, who's been so silent.
It's true. My blog has no advertisements.
You can be making so many gold off your like 3 views a month. I just said making gold off of.
I know. I've been saying dollars this whole podcast too.
only we could pay our rent with gold.
Let's think. The last few minutes of the show here, we're going to be wrapping it up soon. I was just trying to.
70,000 gold spectral tiger. You can't let me not say it.
Go ahead. Okay, right. Fade, go ahead.
I found a 70,000 gold spectral tiger on the auction house, and I bought it, and I learned it, and I'm so happy, and like I'm just so glad people are going to hear me brag about that. So, okay, that's about it. Like, someone in the consortium IRC was like, yeah, it was probably a typo. They probably had 700K, and I'm like, I don't know, but I don't care. It's mine now, and I'm never giving it back.
Maybe it was somebody who was moving to that server and wanted to make some, you know, gold on that server. Never know.
Possibly.
congratulations on the spectral tiger. It is a cool tiger. All right. Well, we're going to be wrapping it up here pretty soon. Fade, you mentioned that there's some holidays that are coming up in game that people want to start thinking about preparing for.
Yeah, next holiday is going to be Thanksgiving, which I think is called Pilgrim's Bounty or something of that sort. It's a really big cooking holiday because it becomes really cheap to level cooking during the holiday. And so a lot of people will level it. So I would probably stock up on recipes to sell to people who are like, hey, I've got cooking, might as well learn all the recipes. And then also finding gaps in the recipes that you can provide materials for. The materials for most of it will be provided on the vendor, which won't be too useful. Mm-hmm. But like once you... You know, if they're like, oh, well, I'm already up to Wrath level cooking, I'll buy some chilled meat off the auction house and level it the rest of the way. That kind of a thing. And then also, after that, of course, will come Winter's Veil. So everyone should definitely be stocking up on small eggs to sell. And that's about it.
Mm, speaking of small eggs, if...
Egg Pimp, is he back? Is the Egg Pimp back?
Hopefully he'll be back this year. If you're looking to stock up on small eggs, I talked about this. What holiday needed eggs, or what needed eggs? Because it wasn't obviously Wintervale.
Children's Week?
Possibly.
To make the delicious cakes?
Delicious chocolate cakes. If you're looking to pick up small eggs for stocking up for holiday, I found that killing the dragon hawks that are just outside of Silver Moon City, or the kind of the starter area next to Silver Moon City, is you're able to kill them very quickly and get eggs stocked up there. So all the various dragon hawks that are right around that area.
Another place that I used to go, I don't know if it's still as effective, but there was an area just outside in Westfall, just outside of Moonbrook. It's a little graveyard with a bunch of little vultures there, and they used to be instant respawn. Like, you'd kill it, and 10 feet away from you would respawn. You just keep killing them over and over, and they'd drop eggs. I don't know if they still have that same instant respawn in Kata, but like I said, I did that, and I'd get, you know, tons and tons and tons of small eggs in the span of a day. And you can also use those to make, like, the eggnog and whatnot in Winter's Veil.
Eggnog.
Mm-hmm. And that means that the eggnog shakes are going to start showing up at some restaurants and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And eggnog in general. All right, for the last thing of the show, I just want to go through and ask each of us, what was the best thing that you sold this, like, last week on the auction house? And I'm going to do Aluniar first. Is there anything that stands out to your mind that you were able to sell this week on the auction house?
Specifically on the auction house, probably my best sellers have been engineering pets on my goblin and volatile air on my alchemist.
Had you?
I sold stacks of 50 or so volatile air for about 1,000 gold, so I thought that was pretty good.
I love the volatile air. Fade, what about you?
Most of my stuff's usually microtransactions, if you will. It's a whole bunch of stuff that's selling for less than 100 gold. But right now, a lot of the cross-faction recipes I'm selling, I'm not sure why all of a sudden, but for some reason someone was like, I'm going to post them for 500 gold. And because of the way my TSM's set up, I also posted them for 500 gold, and I'm like, whatever. And they're selling. I'm selling vendor recipes that I bought for 2 silver for 500 gold. So that's pretty awesome.
Nice. I think for me, I've been leveling up blacksmithing on, I think my character's level 40, but her blacksmithing stuff has been mostly the somewhat lower level blacksmiths. So while I don't really want to think about how much I've spent on the items, a lot of them I've been turning a profit on. The low level 20 and 30 level strength items that are crafted from blacksmithing, and especially if you're quite leveling through the dungeon, a lot of times people leveling through the dungeon are sitting in the city, so every couple levels they'll be checking the auction house for, you know, new items. And so I've been doing fairly well, not as well as I did with leatherworking, but I've been doing some low level blacksmithing, and that's been good for me. So All right. Well, I want to thank everybody for being on the show today. We're going to go through and let people know how they can get a hold of us. Again, ladies first, Fade, do you want to talk about how people can get a hold of you?
Yeah, sure. Once again, I write the blog nerffades.blogspot.com. That's nerffaids.blogspot.com. And then I am Fadetastic, FAIDTASTIC, on both Twitter and on YouTube.
Awesome, awesome. And Aluniar, thank you so much for being here. I guess we're going to keep your blog under the radar as it is. I guess if you get a hold of me later on and want me to put a link to it, we can link to it in the show notes. Do you have any way that people can get a hold of you, or just send Fade a message and she'll send it on?
Aluniar, U.S. Sergeant Don here. So, I mean, of course, one of the best ways to get a hold of me is to send me a tell.
Awesome.
You can also contact Fade if you've got, you know, a message you want to send me or something.
If you want to get some sweet leatherworking knowledge,
exactly.
Take
exactly.
Out of your mind grapes.
And I'm always open to talk, you know, so whoever wants to come by all means, send me a tell, say hi.
Awesome. Create a level one on Argent Dawn U.S. Alliance, and
yep.
Your name is E-L, how do you spell your character's name, I guess? I'll let you do that.
E-L-U-N-I-A-R.
Awesome. All right, and I am Flux from Powered Gold. You can find us at poweredgold.net, Twitter at Powered Gold, and facebook.com/PoweredGold. Fade, we're working. We're on episode number 22.
Woohoo!
We're going to get to level 25. Episode number 25. And then that will be great. So thanks, everybody, for listening to the Powered Gold podcast. Again, if you want your questions answered on the show, if you want some of the best advice you're going to find out there from people who spend way too much time thinking about making gold in World of Warcraft, send those questions or MP3 questions to poweredgold@gmail.com. I think that's going to wrap it up. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we will see you next time.
Thanks for having me.
See ya.
The music for today's podcast includes Today and Evermore, Praying for Rain, and A Lack of Patience from the band Eberachum. If you want to find out more about Eberachum, you can go to eberachum.bandcamp.com. That's eberachum.bandcamp.com. All songs were used under the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, 3.0 Unported License. If you'd like to learn more about Creative Commons licensing, head to creativecommons.org. Explosions, and I don't know, remember what hunter some weird combination,
yeah,
of hunters
tanks that blogspot.com.
Hunter tanks,
yeah, hunter tanks, yeah. And it's been a while since I've updated it, but it's
poor whiskey.